Go ahead and turn your Bible, if you will, to Acts chapter 3. We're going to be there today. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. And we are thankful to be back with you. I missed y'all when we're gone. I mean, we enjoyed our time there. Don't get me wrong. The weather was glorious. It was 85 during the day and 70s at night. But we missed. Yeah, it was great here too, yeah. I really felt guilty a little bit with us being there and y'all being here, but it was good. We were planning on watching the service online on Sunday morning, but you know, we had to cancel here, so Leslie and I sat out on our balcony in the nice sunny weather and sang some songs together and read scripture and prayed and had a little worship time just with the two of us, but it was a great time, and we're thankful to be back with you. And Kayla, you did a great job earlier. So, and I will say, amen. I will say, keep coming back on Sunday mornings, because all throughout the month of January, maybe even beyond, we're going to be highlighting our different types of workers that we have at the pantry. You know, she highlighted the drivers and office people today, but we've got people that work there on Mondays and Wednesdays, Saturdays, people that come in during the week and pack bags and boxes. And we want to highlight all these people because, you know, giving out the food is the glamorous part, right? I mean, that's the glamorous part. It's all the things that have to happen behind the scenes in order for us to be able to do that, that makes us be able to be the arms and feet and body of Jesus, you know, all the people that do all the things. So we just want to highlight and pray for our pantry, and thankful that Kayla, that God put it on Kayla's heart to do that. All right, Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. We're going to talk about giving today, and the next week I will tell you that I'm going to start preaching through the book of Mark. I've already started studying and making some notes. I'm excited about what God's going to do as we go through that book together. But that'll start next week. But today we're going to focus on the blessings of giving and read a passage of Scripture that sometimes we don't think might have anything to do with giving. But I think when we look at this story, there are some really principles of giving that we see here that we can apply to our lives and giving of ourselves and other things to the Lord. But I want to start by sharing a quote with you. It's by Henry Varley. And he said, "The world is yet to see what God will do with and through and in and by the man who is wholly consecrated to him." This was a quote that literally changed the life of D.L. Moody. We've all heard of him probably, and I'm going to tell a little bit more about him. But this quote literally changed D.L. Moody's life forever. And without question, D.L. Moody, his life, his availability to the Lord outweighed his natural ability. People that knew D.L. Moody and understood him knew that he allowed God to have everything in his life so that he could be used by God to the fullest extent. And his personal life, if you know about his personal life, I'm going to share a few things with you. His personal life is proof that he was just an ordinary guy. When he was a child, his father died, and his family was so poor that the creditors literally took everything from them. When his mother would take him and his siblings to church, she had them carry their shoes and socks until they got to church so that they would not wear them out too quickly. Later in life, Moody stopped going to church. He didn't want to have anything to do with the church and with the Lord. But later, he was led to the Lord by a Sunday school teacher. See, our teachers, you're important, okay? Led to the Lord by a Sunday school teacher while D.L. Moody was working at a shoe store. And then Moody began attending church again and also began inviting friends as well. And he decided to bring children to church, but some of the church members didn't want these kids from the neighborhood brought into the church. And so he went out to the shores of Lake Michigan in Chicago and started his own ministry. Now, the thing about D.L. Moody, his grammar was awful. I mean, the man could barely speak. I mean, he could speak, but the grammar he used was awful. And one of the first times he ever spoke in public, some of the deacons approached him and said, "You make too many mistakes in your grammar." You know, he had setbacks. And many told him that what he wanted to do was impossible. But he didn't listen to them because he knew that God had called him to the ministry that he'd called him to. He gave of himself wholly. He completely gave of himself to the Lord. And because of it, he changed a generation. Okay? So stay tuned to the end to hear the rest of his story. But in our passage this morning, we're going to learn about the blessings of giving and really giving of ourselves and what we have to the Lord's service. So let's start by reading Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Let's read it together. Now Peter and John were going to the temple for the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. A man who was lame from birth was being carried there. He was placed each day at the temple gate called Beautiful so that he could beg from those entering the temple. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he asked for money. Peter, along with John, looked straight at him and said, "Look at us." So he turned to them, expecting to get something from them. But Peter said, "I don't have silver or gold, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Get up and walk." Then taking him by the right hand, he raised him up, and at once his feet and ankles became strong. So he jumped up and started to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized he was the one who used to sit and beg by the beautiful gate of the temple. So they were filled with awe and astonishment at what had happened to him. What a neat story. We're all familiar with it. But I want to focus real quick on the word blessing just for a minute. Go ahead and go to that next. Oh, I don't have my thing on. There we go. It helps if I have the power on. So I want to focus on the word bless this morning. And I titled my sermon, The Blessings of Giving. And as I said earlier, we may not think of this passage as kind of being a blueprint for giving, but there's certainly concepts of giving that we can learn from this. But before we get started, we need to understand and define the word blessed. I mean, we use that word a lot. We say it a lot in just our natural conversations. But what does it mean to be blessed? What does that word really mean? When I think of the word blessed, I often think of Jesus' teachings in the Sermon on the Mount. You probably did too. And the word blessed that Jesus used in the Sermon on the Mount, you know, the Beatitudes at the beginning, is from the Greek word Makarios. It means to be happy. It means to be blissful, but it's more than just this outward happiness or outward joy. It means an inner contentment in life. And that's what Jesus was getting at when he talked about the blessings of doing all those things that he talked about. And Peter and John were a blessing to the lame man in the story, but they also received a blessing from God and the fact that God used them in this man's life. And if you think about the issue of giving, they were givers in the sense that they gave of themselves to the Lord's work. So what can we learn from them? What can we learn from this story about giving? Well, there's several things, and let's go through them. The blessing of giving begins with, number one, doing the right things. Doing the right things. So what do we know in the story here? Peter and John, they're on their way to the temple to pray, right? And it was important for them to do it. It's something that they ought to be doing. They were followers of Christ, and they were going to the temple to pray. They're doing what is right in their lives, okay? They understood that meeting together with other believers, praying, being a part of a fellowship of people was important. So they're doing what is right. They're doing what they are supposed to do. And so many times you'll find that God uses people who are doing the right things as an instrument for his blessing. In other words, when we do things God's way, when we do what he wants us to do, he puts us in positions where we can receive blessings. Because Peter and John were going to the temple and pray, they were in a position to minister to the man who was begging at the temple gate. Because they were doing what they should be doing, God put them in a position to be a blessing in this man's life. And Peter and John were at the right place at the right time. You might say it was a divine appointment. Because God had a plan for them that day because they were choosing to do what was right. And God blessed them with this awesome opportunity to change this man's life. to speak into his life, to bring him joy, and even more than that. So God blesses people who do the right things, and we need to understand that. Do what God wants us to do, and there are blessings that come from that. Not always monetary blessings, that's not what I mean, but blessings nonetheless. So the blessing of giving begins with doing the right things. The second thing I want to notice, that I want us to notice, is that the blessing of giving comes by paying attention to others. Now notice in the story, the Bible says in verse 4, Peter and John looked at him intently. They could have just walked on past this guy and gone about their business, and no one have ever thought anything, but they looked intently at the man. They paid close attention to this man, and they realized this guy has a genuine need. Okay, he's not just some guy that's begging for money. He was lame. He didn't have the ability to work. And in that time, there was no welfare programs or anything like that. If you didn't have family that took care of you, you didn't have any way to provide for yourself, so what would you do? You would go out and beg for money, and hopefully people's heart would be tugged in a little bit, and they might give you some money. And that's exactly what this man was doing. And they realized that this man had a genuine need. But I think about Peter and John. They had needs too, right? I mean, they needed to go to the temple and worship and pray. And Peter and John probably could have used some extra money themselves, okay? In fact, they didn't have any. But the thing about givers, guys, and you guys probably recognize this because we have a lot of givers here in the church, and I am so thankful for a church that is so giving and gives sacrificially. But people who are givers are not people with fewer needs than other people. Just because we are givers doesn't mean that we don't have needs ourselves, because we do. But givers many times go beyond that. They have just as many needs as receivers. The only difference is that those who are givers understand that life is about giving to other people. And we need to understand from the story that God blesses people who pay attention to the needs of other people. I mean, that's why Jesus came into the earth. It's for the sake of others, for people. And people matter to God, right? We understand that. So God blesses people who pay attention to the needs of other people. So we need to do the right things. We need to pay attention to others. And then the third thing is the blessing of giving comes by offering hope to others. Now I want you to notice what Peter and John said to the man after they looked at him. They said in verse 5, they said, "Look at us." Okay, they got, they looked intently at him, right? And then they said, "Hey, dude, we want you to look at us. Pay attention, because we have something important we want to share with you." They wanted the man to pay attention because something wonderful was about to happen to him. His life was about to change. And in verse 2, it says the man had been crippled since birth. He'd been begging for a long time. Been at this day after day after day. He'd been begging his whole life. All he was expecting, perhaps, was a little bit of money or food when he was begging there. But I don't think that day he was probably expecting to be healed. But today was different, right? Peter and John wanted the man to have hope. In a sense, they were saying, "Hey, look at us. We want to offer you something better. We want to offer you good news." And what do we always say about Jesus? He was always full of good news for people, right? Unless you were the Pharisees, and he might call you a brood of viper or a son of hell or something like that, but he knew their hearts, right? But Jesus was full of good news for people. The woman at the well, we've talked about her numerous times. It's a great example of having a conversation, an everyday conversation that led to a gospel conversation. This woman was in relationships that she shouldn't have been in, that were outside of God's will and God's, his mandate for us, with marriage and things like that. And Jesus didn't condone what she was doing, but he offered her hope. He offered her a way out. He offered her life. He offered good news, and she accepted it that day. Well, that's what's happening here. They were offering this man good news, and all of a sudden, this man had hope. And God blesses people who offer the hope of Jesus in others. And ultimately, that's what Peter and John were wanting to do. They were wanting to offer the hope of Jesus in this man's life. So blessing comes from offering hope to others, and then the blessing of giving also comes by using what you have available to you, using what is available to you, and trusting God to do the rest. Now, I'm going to spend more time on this point. Now, this man expected some money or food or something like that, but the Bible says that Peter and John didn't have any money. I mean, had needs too. They needed some money, but Peter and John didn't have any money, did they? Most of us probably would have stopped right there and said, I'm sorry, I know you need money, but I don't have any, and we would have gone on about our way. I can't provide that, so I'm going to go on and do what I'm supposed to do. But notice what Peter said. He said, what I have, I give you in the name of Jesus. I don't have any silver or gold, but what I do have, that's what I'm going to offer to you today. What I have, I'm going to give you in the name of Jesus. And we need to understand from that a giver always looks for something to give. They look for ways to meet the need in someone's life. Because God blesses people who give what they have, not what they don't have. We don't always have exactly what somebody else might need, but what we do have, we've got to give them in the name of Jesus. Peter and John didn't have silver or gold, but they had Jesus, right? And so they offered Jesus to him. Let me just say, guys, we can always offer Jesus to others, right? Because he's the most important thing. That's the most important thing. But beyond that, what you have, what do you have that you can offer to someone else in need? It could be a skill. It could be some kind of knowledge about something. It could be just sheer brute and muscle to help somebody. I mean, we all have something that God has blessed us with that we can offer to other people. And so what we have to offer to other people in need, because God blesses people who use what they have for others. Now, what did Peter do after he offered Jesus to the man? He took him by the hand, he raised him up, and he trusted God to do the work, right? He offered him Jesus, and he let Jesus take care of the rest. He trusted God for his healing touch. And I wonder, in my own life, as I read this story multiple times, I wonder if I would have that same kind of faith in that moment. I mean, I probably would have been a little nervous to lift this man up. And I probably wouldn't be thinking, what if he's not healed? What if he can't really walk? What if nothing happens when I offer this to him? But here's what we should learn from this story. Peter only did what he could do, right? He did what he could do. And he trusted God to take care of the rest. It wasn't up to Peter to heal this man. He offered what he had, and God did the rest. It was up to God. And so we need to learn that givers do their part, and they allow God to take care of the rest. Guys, let me just say, I'm going to get into a little bit of meddling here. This includes every aspect of our lives, including giving our tithes to the church. You know, some people say, well, you know, tithing is an Old Testament principle. And you know, that's the age-old question. Is it a New Testament principle? Is it just Old Testament? Does it apply to us today? Why do most people say that? It's because they say that really tithing is an Old Testament teaching and not a New Testament teaching, and it's not mentioned in the New Testament anywhere. And it's true that after the death of Jesus, after he fulfilled the law, the New Testament seems to leave out the part of submitting to a system of tithing as described in the Old Testament. But you know, there are a lot of Christians today, including myself, that believe that the principle of giving a tithe should be carried over to the New Testament church. You know, Billy Graham once said this. He said, we have found in our own home, as have thousands of others, that God's blessing upon 9/10 when we tithe helps it go farther than 10/10 without a blessing. And so what does the New Testament have to say about giving? I mean, I could preach a whole sermon on this, but I just want to focus on another passage this morning. If you will, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to look at verses 6 through 8 together. This is the great verse that speaks to the issue of giving. 2 Corinthians 9, I'll give you just a second to find that, verses 6 through 8. Let's read it together. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he says this in verse 6. The point is this: the person who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the person who sows generously will also reap generously. Each person should do as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or out of compulsion, since God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make every grace overflow to you, so that in every way, always having everything you need, you may excel in every good work. You know, as I think about this passage, in Paul's day, people were familiar with the subject of agriculture, because sowing and reaping were common tasks. Paul was saying that while it might seem wise to store up grain for seeds, it's actually going to limit the harvest. Because a farmer who scatters his seeds sparingly will have a small harvest. A farmer who plays it safe and refuses to risk his grain will lose out on next year's harvest. Yeah, he's going to have enough for the moment, but what about next year and next year and next year? But the farmer who scatters generously will enjoy a bountiful harvest. And the illustration contains the truth of when we give. When we sow sparingly, we're going to reap sparingly. When we sow generously, we're going to reap generously. When we give to the Lord's work sparingly, we won't see much fruit. But when we give generously, we're going to see a massive eternal harvest. So Paul is not talking about being blessings like more wealth and stuff like that. You know, the TV preachers, Jack was talking to me earlier about, this guy who's the blinker on TV. I think we all know who that is, one of these TV preachers. You know, these TV preachers will use this verse to spout off nonsense like, you know, if you sow a vow of faith, God's going to bless you with health and you'll be able to pay all your bills supernaturally or something like that. And they use this verse always, and they're using it out of context. And for people that maybe their heart's in the right place, they hear these guys say this, and then they're like, I'm going to give all my money to this guy. And then they use it lavishly and all that stuff. So that's not what Paul's talking about here. The promise is, yes, the promise is blessing. And many times, you know, sometimes it may be financial blessing, but it may be other kinds of blessing. But the bottom line is when we as a church or as individuals in our own families, when we give sacrificially, when we give generously, we're going to reap a spiritual harvest like never before. So what did Paul say to do? He said each believer is to do what? Decide how much God wants you to give and then to give it cheerfully. He said this is not an impulsive decision. This is something that we deliberately pray about, seek God over. It's something that we seek God's face in. It's prayerful. It's a deliberate decision. And so we are supposed to assess our ability to give and then make the plans accordingly. Now, again, we're not really told a percent in the New Testament, but I will tell you a great place to start is 10%. Amen? But what if God wanted you to give more? What if you laid on your heart to give 15% or 20%? The question is would we trust him? And again, this is him telling us what he wants us to give. We pray about it. Lord, what do you want me to give? He says, this much. And then, okay, I'm going to trust you as I give this amount that you're going to provide for my needs. So it's again him telling us what he wants us to give. And listen, it's a thing of faith. It really is. Some people might say, well, I can't afford to give my tithe to the church. And when we say that, I understand why we say it. It doesn't mean we're necessarily a bad person, but what we're basically saying, if we want to just be really honest about it, is we're saying, God, I don't trust you to take care of my needs. Because givers are people of faith. They give and trust God to take care of their needs. And the Bible does say that he will take care of our needs. And so we have to all do our part and trust God to work. Let me just say, it's a privilege to be able to give to the work of the ministry of the church. You know, we've assembled in this place. You guys are a part of Bogey Hills Baptist Church. We're part of a family here. This means that we are assembling together, and it's a privilege to be able to give to the work of ministry. And God blesses those who trust him completely so that they can give sacrificially. So then once we have the amount or the percentage that God wants us to give, we're to give it cheerfully. We're to give it joyfully. Not reluctantly, not this is, you know, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway, not out of compulsion. We're to give it cheerfully. It should bring us joy when we give that tithe, check or cash or whatever, however we do it. We give it with joy and knowing that God has laid upon our heart to give it. It's not with an attitude of reluctance. It's with an attitude of joy. It should come with a heart of gratitude to God for his financial blessing. It should come with the hope that God will take care of our gift and further his kingdom with it. And let me just say, it's kind of a side note here, when you give your tithes and your offerings above that to the church, let me just say, it can be trusted here. We have a committee of men and women who look at the finances of our church. You know, we don't like to think of the church as a business, but there is a business aspect of it. We have to look at how much we're bringing in, how much we're paying out. We have bills to pay here and salaries to pay and all the things that we do here, ministries to fund. And so we have a committee of men and women that look at that every month. We have a church treasurer in Jerry that is accountable to that committee. We have a quarterly business meeting where we share what's going on financially with our church. We try to be an open book as much as we can so they give access to what is going in and out here at the church. We're not hiding anything, and we have people, men and women, who serve on this committee, and Jerry, who's our treasurer, who are very trustworthy, who are very careful with all that. And when our stewardship committee puts forth a budget, we just voted back in November for the 2025 budget for Bogey Hills. This is not something that we just jot some numbers down and throw it out there. These are deliberate decisions that we're making on different items. And so all this has been carefully done so that we can do more and more for the kingdom of God. So whether or not to tithe, it's only, you know, is it the Old Testament or if it's included in the New Testament, is an issue that's going to be debated until Jesus returns. The tithe is mostly referenced in the Old Testament, as we've discussed. But you know, there is one passage in Matthew 23:23 where Jesus seems to mention tithing. Jesus is talking to the scribes and Pharisees, condemning them for tithing on everything, but neglecting the issues of mercy and justice and grace. Jesus says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You pay a tenth of mint, dill, and cumin, yet you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith." Then notice what he says. These things should have been done without neglecting the others. And so when I look at that verse, in a way, it seems that Jesus is saying that their tithing and the matters of justice, mercy, and faith should go hand in hand. So he said, do that, that's important, but you also need to focus on these other matters, these spiritual matters of justice, mercy, and faith. Just something to think about. And then finally, the blessing of giving comes by realizing, number five, that God is our source. He is the ultimate source, amen? As I said earlier, it wasn't Peter and John who had the ability to heal the man that day. There's nothing magical about their touch or their handshake or grabbing the hand. Those guys were just the instrument, the vessel that God used that day in that man's life. It was the power of God that healed that man. And people who are givers realize that what they have and what they have to offer comes from God. God's going to supply the power when we realize but He's the source. So God blesses those who realize that He alone is their source. So the blessing of giving comes by realizing God is our source. So those are some principles that I think we can learn from this familiar story of Peter and John going to the temple that day. But I want to circle back on what I said earlier about D.L. Moody. Remember the quote Henry Varley, he said, "The world is yet to see what God will do with and through and in and by the man who is wholly consecrated to Him." Those words spoken by Henry Varley changed D.L. Moody's life forever. And Moody responded by saying this. This is what he said. He said, "A man." He did not say a great man. He did not say a learned man. He did not say a smart man. He just simply said, "A man. I'm a man. And there lies within me, if I really will, and if I really consecrate myself to be that man, I will try my utmost to be that person." And he did. You know, it's estimated that 100 million people heard the gospel through the preaching of D.L. Moody. 100 million people who came from a poor family and from a guy that could barely speak correctly. Without a question, a layman who never became ordained touched more lives in the 1800s and brought more people to Christ than any other person in his day, all because he was willing to give of himself to the Lord's work. He said, "This is who I am. This is what I have. I'm going to give it to you." You see, that's what God wants. He wants who we are and what we have. Who we are, we're all different people. What we have is all different. But God wants that. He wants to use the ordinary things of life. See, that's the thing about God. He can take these ordinary people and ordinary things and turn them into something miraculous. If you don't believe me, just read the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. That makes no sense, that story. But that's what God does. Amen? That's what God does. So I hope that will encourage us to be givers. There's blessings in giving. And I hope that we'll recognize that. And when we give sacrificially, that inward contentment, that inward joy that Jesus talked about in the Beatitudes, that will be ours. And there's no way other to describe it other than when we do it, it just happens. And it's a blessing to give. Maybe this morning, though, you need to make another important decision to put your faith and trust in Jesus. This is something that we talk about every week. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're missing out on the most important relationship that you ever have. And the way that we put our faith and trust in Jesus is to simply, first of all, admit that we're a sinner. Admit that we're broken people. And that's for our own benefit. And then we need to ask forgiveness and turn away from our sins. That's the word repent. What it means to repent, turn away, ask for forgiveness. Then we have to believe in the gospel. The gospel is simply that Jesus came down from heaven. He lived a sinless life. He died. He was buried. He rose again. It proved that He was God's gift of sinners. That actually happened. We have to believe in that. And then we have to commit our life to Jesus as Savior and Lord to say, "From this day forward, yeah, you're going to be my Savior, but I'm going to follow you. I'm going to go where you want me to go. I'm going to give what you want me to give. I'm going to say what you want me to say. I'm going to do what you want me to do. From this day forward, my life is no longer mine. It belongs to you. You're my boss." That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And so today, if you need to make that decision, Andrew's going to come in just a minute. He's going to lead us in a song of commitment. You can pray a simple prayer of faith right where you are in dedicating or committing your life to the Lord. If you need help with that, I'll be right down here at the front. And you can, I'll help take you through it. Or we can meet afterwards or whatever we need to do. But don't pass up this opportunity today to put your faith and trust in Jesus. If there's another decision you need to make, Again, you can come to me. We'll pray or we can meet sometime this week. But I would ask of you this morning, as we sing, if God is laying upon your heart to do something, I pray that you'd be obedient to that. But we need to know about it, okay? Fill out the connect card so we can know what's going on. Go on the line, connect with us that way. It's the same thing, it's just electronic, so that we can help you in your spiritual journey, okay? So let's pray, and then we'll let the Lord do his business in our heart, his Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you today for this message that we see here. We thank you for the life of Peter and John, who are willing to give of themselves, of what they had, what they didn't have, not what they didn't have. They gave of themselves fully to you, and you used them to be a blessing in this man's life. But Lord, they also received a blessing. The blessing was to be able to be used by you. And I'm sure that brought them such joy of knowing that you used them to change this man's life that day. And Father, we want to know that same joy. We know that it comes from giving sacrificially, that understanding that you're our source, giving hope to other people, giving what we have, what we don't, not what we don't have. Lord, let us be those people today. As we look forward to 2025, let us be givers in that sense. And Father, we invite you this morning to have your way in us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.